Lutheran Radio presents Cross Encounters with Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Cross Encounters, a reading from the Gospel of St. John, the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you've kept the good wine until now." This was the first of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The account of Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana is a very familiar passage, even for those who don't regularly attend church. The picture of Jesus turning about 150 gallons of water into fine wine catches just about everyone's imaginations. But for the next couple of minutes, I'd like to focus on something other than the wine. Sorry. I'd like to focus on Jesus' mother Mary and her request and her response to Jesus. It seems that Mary had an important role to play at this wedding. Otherwise, why would she have been so concerned about running out of wine? Perhaps this was the wedding of one of Jesus' sisters or brothers, and Mary was the hostess. What a disaster if the host was to fail to provide for the guests. This would have been a communal disgrace. Perhaps this accounts for her urgent request of Jesus that he produce more wine. Jesus responds with what appear to be harsh words, "Woman, what is this to me?" It seems that he's rebuking her and telling her to leave him alone. He has better things to do than use his miraculous powers to produce wine for this wedding feast. He provides his mother with a strong no. But notice Mary's response. She doesn't go away sulking, angry at his insolent answer, nor does she attempt to lay on him a guilt trip. "If you really loved your mother, you would make this wine for me." She doesn't even get angry and curse him. She merely turns to the servants and instructs them to do whatever he tells them to do. What a response. We hear Jesus telling her no, but in the midst of Jesus' no, she hears his yes. She knows that Jesus will come to her aid. She doesn't know how. She doesn't know when. She doesn't know by what means. But she is confident that he will come to her aid. Therefore, she tells the servants to do what he tells them. She allows Jesus to work for her, how, when, and where he wills. No strings attached. She casts herself and her troubles into his hands, and she says, "Do what you will." And Jesus proceeds to create some of the finest wine ever made. He saves the day. I wonder how you or I might respond had we been in Mary's sandals that day. When I come to Christ with my urgent requests, things I feel must be attended to immediately, and he appears to ignore my pleas, my first reaction is that of, That's not fair. Why aren't you helping me? You help them, so why not me? With the implication that I'm better or more worthy than those other people are. Or perhaps I get angry, and I shake my fist at Jesus, and I curse him, because he seems to be ignoring me. Or maybe I try and manipulate him. God, if you answer this prayer, then I will do this or that for you. Instead, let us learn from his mother Mary how to entreat our Lord. Bring your concerns, your cares, and your desires to Jesus and leave them in his hands. Allow him to deal with them as he wills, at his own time, in his own way, and through his own means, with no strings attached. This is how faith prays. It allows Jesus to be God for us. And even when he says no, seek out his yes for you. Trust and see if he doesn't turn your water into wine in his own way, in his own time, and by his own means. Watch him as he manifests his glory so that you too might believe in him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, who has called us to follow you, whose call we have answered and striven to obey, grant that our love may not grow cold in your service, lest we cease to follow, nor that we would follow from afar in the hour of trial, or that we would deny you. For your mercy's sake, amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you always. Amen.
Love is in the air.
Christ is in the air.
Lutheran Radio UK.